Thank you. I'm Laurel. And last fall, I was following a prayer guide that looks like this. I think there's a slide that shows it. It was a prayer guide for a more welcoming world, put together by a group called We Choose Welcome. And I don't think you can see that up here, but that group is an advocacy group for immigration. And at the same time, remember it was last fall I was reading this, there was a lot of negative rhetoric about immigrants. And I was talking to friends, and I realized it was very hard for me and other people to understand what was the truth and what was untrue myths that we were hearing. So this group, We Choose Welcome, put forth an invitation to join them on a border encounter where we would learn more about immigration, and we would be able to learn and observe what was going on at the border. So I signed up. The trip was planned for El Paso, Texas, and its sister city, Ciudad Juarez, right across the Rio Grande in Mexico. And the date was the week of January 27th. That was 1 week, as you probably remember, after the program to accept asylum applications was stopped. Also, the army had been sent to the border, and the border had been declared a crisis situation. So I went, you can go to the next slide. The group that sponsored our trip was called ABARA. They're a group that works for peace, educates about immigration, and supports the migrant shelters along both sides of the border. A beloved community at the border is what they call themselves. So the first thing that we did, I joined about 12 other women from all over the country. And we were first challenged with some questions. I want to ask you just a few of the questions. So try to listen and start to think about these questions. Who is the other in my life? Who do I see as the other? And what invisible borders have I put up myself? What is my comfort zone, especially in relationship to the privilege and the power that I have? And how do I follow Jesus when things just aren't what they should be? A final question was, what is the role of faith communities in caring for immigrants? And so I just want to give a plug for Shane's time next week. I think he's going to help us look at some of those questions more in depth. What the faith communities in Ciudad Juarez and El Paso have really stepped up. 75 to 80% of the migrant shelters on both sides of the borders are run by churches. Usually in the church, they actually have people living and eating in the churches there. The shelters are so important because migrants are very vulnerable. So we went to visit one shelter in Ciudad Juarez. There were about 40 women and children still there trying to make a plan on what to do since their plan to seek asylum had fallen through. So we heard stories about what their life was like in whatever country they had come from, Colombia, Mexico, El Salvador, and what it caused them to leave their homes to come and try to get across the border to the United States. It was very powerful. The other thing that I learned, I had like two big questions when I went there concerning our immigration policies. And one was, what exactly is the relationship between immigrants and crime? So a former Border Patrol agent spoke to us, and he showed us this slide, which has stuck in my mind. The top line is the number of foreign-born residents in the United States. Now, this carries through to states and also big metropolitan areas like Atlanta and Chicago. So you have the top line is the number of foreign-born residents. The other lines are the crime rates, violent crime and burglaries. I'm not sure how it's broken down. So what you can see is that as the number of immigrants goes up in a community or in our country, the crime rate actually goes down or stays the same. There's no increase in crime. One of the articles I read said, to fight crime, embrace the immigrant community. And the other question I think that I had was about drugs, because that comes up a lot. Most of the arrests made because of drug smuggling are to U.S. citizens. Undocumented migrants don't carry significant amounts of drugs over the border. Those are a few things that I learned. I think that the bottom line really is, what does God say? What is God's heart for the immigrant, which needs to be our heart as well for the immigrant? And I wanted to point out to you that there are a lot of scriptures that talk about God's love for immigrants and also about the fact that we need to treat them with welcome and with respect. If anybody would like to see a list of 40 scriptures, I have some handouts, and they're also on the website of the Evangelical Immigration Table. I have two more slides, because everybody asked me, what does the wall look like? I think it looks different at different points along the border. But this is what we observed, and this is a wall. I took the picture. I'm standing in Ciudad Juarez looking into New Mexico. And that's a pretty, like, heavy, impenetrable barrier, right? But when we look to the left, you can see that there are hills there. They're really like dusty, deserty hills. You saw the end of this big wall. And I have no doubt that I could have walked up the hill to the end of the wall and walked around it. I don't know exactly the purpose of the wall, except maybe that it does look very strong. So the next slide shows what we actually saw more often in El Paso, between El Paso and Ciudad Juarez, which this is the Rio Grande River. On the other side, I hope you can see some rows of metal fencing with barbed wire on top. And the long posts going up have really high-tech, powerful cameras on them. That's the scene that we saw as we were traveling through El Paso and Juarez. Thanks a lot. Feel free to ask me any questions during our lunchtime, and I'm really looking forward to Shane's talk next week to help us answer some of the questions.